We I hope I'm audible. Chair,
Your line is not good. Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, honorable members. Is it fine now? Network. Am I audible enough now?
Yes, Chair.
Oh, okay. No, thank you very much, honorable members. In welcoming everybody in the meeting, at the GM.
Recording in progress.
And all visitors, the deputy, I'm sorry, the DG of the department, and our members and staff that is with us today. We are not going to, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Sakaza to take us through in terms of the attendance register. Mr. Sakaza, can you please do that?
Thank you, Chair. Morning, honorable members. Morning to you, Chair. Chair, today we have yourself, Chair, Honorable Dunjwa, Honorable Makubele, Honorable Mdabe, Honorable Baygram, Honorable Inana, Honorable Denner, Honorable Ngobo, Honorable Mkonto, so far, Chair. And then from the support staff, Chair, we've got myself, we've got Poshia Ndabeni, we've got Ngobo, the content advisor, we've got Sibongile Maputi, the communications officer, we've got Kolelwa Mabindisa, the exec secretary. Thank you. That's what I have now, Chair.
Morning, Chair. No, okay. I think he
morning,
has
morning.
Honorable Nonsele, just
no. You missed me. My name. I've been ill. Yeah, thanks.
Call over.
Yeah.
Do we have any guests? I see there's somebody, Uma.
Yes, Chair, we have guests, they must say.
Can they tell us who they are and from which organization or institutions?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. I'm using my phone. It's Bahumi Matebe, so the DDG Corporate Services from Department of Labor, Employment and Labor, sorry.
Thank you very much, ma'am. But you are not a guest. Guests are people who are coming outside, who are from outside the department and its entities, like media.
Yes. My name is not showing as it normally does, so I was just clarifying the Huma, the device. Yes, ma'am. Yes, honorable.
Thank you. We are not going to, we are chasing time now, honorable members. You have heard that the country is going to be in stage 4, load shedding from 9 o'clock. So we're not going to do the usuals that we usually do. We will then go straight to the presentation. I'm of the understanding that that presentation is going to be done by the DG. We will then we'll appreciate DG if you can start, so that if anything happens, or the load shedding affects the network, at least we are not caught unawares. There are things that are called hotspot. I don't know how to do that. So I don't want to be caught in that space. So DM today, we're not going to be requesting for any overviews because of that. We'll go straight to the presentation. I'll hand over to you, DG.
Good morning, Chairperson and the honorable members. Chair, I'm also not going to introduce the department
departmental delegation, suffice to say that everybody who is supposed to be here is here, Chair, so we will respond to all the questions. Chair, I'm also having an unstable network here, so I'll ask Marsha to quickly run through the presentation and we will then take questions, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you and good morning, Chair and honourable members. Chair, I'm just asking, Matapelu apparently has got a problem connecting because she's got load shedding. If the Commissioner of the Compensation Fund, Mr. Mafata, can share the presentation. I'm also working here in the dark. So if you will just bear with me, I've tried to get hold of Matapelu. If Commissioner, if I can ask you to just share the presentation for us, if it's acceptable, Chairperson.
We don't have any choice. Because of
no, no, it's very chair,
let me make the commissioner then the co-host so that she can.
Okay, I'm just changing the device. I was connecting through a phone, so I just want to change the devices so that I can share.
Okay.
Chair, if it will be acceptable, if I start whilst we wait for Mr. Mafata with the presentation, I think we have circulated the presentation to honourable members. What we have done with this presentation is to incorporate inputs from the department, the two funds, as well as the entities of the department, so that we can give the committee an holistic view of what our responses would be to the SONA in the year going forward. And on slide, for those members who could perhaps follow on their devices, on slide 4, I'm just talking
Sorry, ma'am. Can I check with honourable members whilst we are still waiting for this to be shown? Are we all okay, because I didn't want to leave members behind, was the issue of the network affects everybody. You may continue. It's on our strengths.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, Commissioner, for coming to the rescue. I am on slide 4 of the presentation. The background and the purpose. The members will recall that the state president delivered the SONA on the 10th of February, and we have developed an annual program of action to address the issues raised in the SONA. And the presentation that I'm going to do is going to highlight our deliverables in terms of answering to the SONA. On slide 5, what we have done there is to just summarize the key priorities as they are raised in the SONA. And these are addressing deep poverty, unemployment and inequality, economic growth and job creation, combating hunger, state capacity, the building of a capable, ethical and developmental state, which is also key priority 1, skills development, combating fraud and corruption, overcoming COVID-19 and the general health of South Africans, infrastructure development for economic growth and the expansion of public and social employment. If we can move to the next slide, slide 6. Here I have just made a summary of the DEL programs and the priorities of the department. So our goal statement is a labor market which is conducive to decent employment. 4 programs, as members are aware. And then the public entities in the department, that of SEE, Productivity South Africa, the CCMA, NEDLAT, and the two funds. At the bottom, very important is the cross-cutting focus in terms of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. And next week, when we do the presentation on the annual performance plan for 22-23, I think members will receive much more detail as to how we would want to address this matter. Can we move then to slide 7? Here is the 2 key priorities is that of the state capacity of building a capable, ethical, developmental state, as well as the key priority combating fraud and corruption. Program 1, administration, and I'm going to, in the following slides, or the slides following here, after focus on what Program 1 will do to address these issues in terms of the SONA. On the slide 8, please, Commissioner. The first one is that we will report all cases of detected irregular expenditure and definitely take appropriate consequential management action. There will also be a concerted effort in ensuring that we have an alignment of individual employee performance agreements with our strategic agenda. In the SONA, there was discussion around that as well. The issues of women, youth, and persons with disabilities, as I have already alluded to, will be cross-cutting. We would want to focus and upscale the rollout of our Taking Services to the People initiative, as our members are aware and I think have attended to some of these events. We would like to do that in the coming year to much more detail and more effect. Strengthening the capacity of the department to reduce our vacancy rate, and the acquisition, maintenance, and improvement of ICT services, which we all know has been the Achilles heel of the department in the last number of years. If we can move to the next one, please, Commissioner, on slide 9. We are still focusing on the building a capable, ethical, and developmental state. We will eliminate cases of wasteful and fruitless expenditure. We will also have 100% compliance to e-disclosure of financial interests by the SMS members. And then very important to us, and which the committee is also aware, in our drive to get a clean audit, all our audit action plans will be subjected to internal to auditing by internal audit to ensure that they are effective. And we will monitor the implementation of the action plans and report to the audit committee as an additional oversight in achieving a clean audit. We will also continue to pursue the government's drive to pay suppliers within 30 calendar days. And I think thus far the department has shown that we have a very good track record in paying our suppliers within the timeframes. We have also already received guidance from the DPSA in terms of the practical ways how we can undertake lifestyle audits of applicable officials. And this will be a joint effort between our ethics unit and our risk and anti-fraud unit to start with the lifestyle audits of indicated officials. If we look at slide number 10, we will ensure that all disciplinary cases are concluded to within 90 days. And then the resolution of 95% of our reported incidents of corruption will be finalized via disciplinary and criminal interventions. And we will enforce consequences for corruption and misconduct in the department. Of further importance is the fact that we would establish an ethics unit in the Office of the Director General, and this unit will be responsible for the management of all ethics matters in the department. And lastly, Chairperson and members, the department has got a zero tolerance stance in terms of corruption and fraud, and we will deal with it harshly at all times to take care and eradicate the scourge that we are experiencing. If we move to the next slide, In the SONA, there was also the president also announced in terms of the overcoming COVID in the department. Now, we're focusing here on clearly internally because occupational health and safety is focusing outwards and the compensation fund. So the department over our COVID alert levels were responding to the protocols, and we assured that the officials are safe from contracting the virus. We have a crisis management team that meets when our lockdown levels change, and we also have put measures in place to prevent the spread and avoid the possible fatalities due to the COVID-19 virus. We have had constant internal communication and media alerts to staff, and we're still continuing with that. And we see that there's a gradual build-up of the vaccination levels by staff. On slide 12, we continue to we will continue to provide mobile devices. It was slow in the last year because of the extremely high demand in the country. I think everyone knows that when you want to buy a business computer, it's virtually impossible, or you have an extremely long waiting period if you can get stock to procure. So these devices were given to people who had to work remotely and who were responsible for the servicing of our clients in terms of unemployment insurance fund, compensation fund, and then public employment services. And we have made improvements in terms of the organizational performance on our targets after perfecting and adapting to the new world of work. I think members will recall with our quarterly performance reports, we see that there's a gradual improvement in the performance. If we move to slide number 13, we're going to talk about program number 2, Inspection and Enforcement Services. Commissioner, thank you. Here, the key priority, economic growth and job creation, as well as the key priority, addressing deep poverty, unemployment, and inequality is reflected upon. So on slide 14, at the root of the services that we offer in IAS, the key objectives are the following: the contribution towards enhanced productivity and economic growth. We are to ensure that workers enjoy their social security benefits, ensure that workers are protected through the promotion of healthy and safe workplaces and compliance with employment standards, contribute towards job preservation of those that are employed, and deal with non-standard forms of employment. On slide 15, I've given a breakdown in terms of legislation that the branch or the program will be, or number of inspections, sorry, on the different types of legislation that the branch or the program will be inspecting and doing in the year 22-23. If we move then, and Chair, if you'll allow me, I don't think I'm going to work through it except to look at the totals. There will be 3,432 Employment Equity Act inspections done in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, 168,348. Occupational Health and Safety, 98,580. And you will see here that this is a substantial bigger number than what we did in the past because of the inspectors that came on board, the 500 OHS inspectors that came on board. Unemployment Insurance Act and the Unemployment Contributions Act, there we will do 17,308 focused inspections. For Compensation on Injuries and Diseases Act, 9,236 inspections will be done, and that will be focused inspections purely on this legislation. In total, the Inspectorate of the Department will do 296,904 inspections in the year ahead in our mandate to address the matters that we have to in terms of the key priorities. On slide number 16, we look at key priority economic growth, job creation, as well as the expansion of public and social employment. And this clearly will then be the Public Employment Services Program that would deal with this. On slide 17, we will provide public employment services, collaborate with the President's Program Management Office, the UIF, and other departments to support work seekers in the country. And PES will do this through the strategic role in terms of recruitment and placement of people, young people specifically, in the labor activation programs, extended public works programs, and the presidential youth employment projects. Use the scarce and critical skills list to make recommendations to the Department of Home Affairs on work visas, and then make recommendations on the proposed national employment policy and priority sub-theme on national labor migration and the related amendments in terms of the Employment Services Act by March of next year. I think the members will recall that you were briefed 2 weeks or so ago on this whole matter and the way forward in terms of the national employment policy and the national labor migration policies. On slide 18, I've gone into a little bit more detail so that we can see what it is that PACE will be doing to contribute to employment by the end of March next year. This is in running with the period of the SONA. Register 850,000 work seekers on the ESA system and register 105,000 work opportunities on the system also by March next year. And then employment counseling, which is very important, is linked to the scarce and critical skills lists, and that we will provide to 240 work seekers. We will fill 55,000 registered employment opportunities and conclude 22 partnerships with various stakeholders in the sphere of public employment services. If we look at Program 4, Labor Policy and Industrial Relations, on the next slide, they are looking at addressing the key priority, economic growth again, and job creation. Oops, just back for a moment, please, Commissioner. As well as the key priority addressing, excuse me, deep poverty, unemployment, and inequality. On slide 20, we are unpacking a little bit more what it is that will be done. We will improve employment equity implementation and compliance monitoring by publishing the Employment Equity Annual Report and the Public Register, and develop the Employment Equity Annual Report and Public Register by next year. Then extend the protection to vulnerable workers by publishing the national minimum wages for all sectors, promote sound labor relations and centralized collective bargaining through the extension of collective agreements and the registration of qualifying labor organizations, and monitor and evaluate the impact of labor legislation to promote an evidence-based labor policy framework through the production of research and labor market trend reports. If we go to the next slide, the president also indicated that to enable small business to hire more people while continuing to protect workers' rights, social partners will embark on reviewing the labor market regulations. And this is a function that we will be performing will be performed by this program in cooperation with our colleagues at NetLAC. The department has identified that there needs to be changes in labor laws to deal with the impediment to SMMEs. And these proposals have already been presented to and approved by Cabinet, and they are now at NetLAC for discussion. And honorable members know their process. As soon as there is consensus, the bill will be produced and presented to Cabinet and Parliament. As part of the social compact led by the President, the department is part of the discussions that deal with broad socioeconomic issues like challenges with water, electricity, water licensing, and infrastructure as a way of addressing the challenges of unemployment, poverty, and inequality, as well as trying to stimulate the economy. If we move to slide 22, I would like to focus on supported employment enterprises. If we look at the next slide, 23, here we have the three cornerstones for SEE in the year ahead. Commissioner, if you could move just to the next one, please. Thank you. Is to provide work opportunities for people with disabilities and to increase sales revenue and to increase SEE's market share. Now, work opportunities for people with disabilities, who would like to employ 400 additional people with disabilities, and this would ensure job creation, employment equity, and economic transformation. In terms of the increase of sales value, there is a target of increasing the sales with 40%. To ensure the financial liquidity and sustainability and the revenue growth for the entity. And then the market share to be increased, to have customer agreements with 30 government departments mostly and or other customers that would want to use the products of the entity. Customer acquisition and retention and to penetrate the market is important. I think we all know that there are challenges in terms of SEE, and these are the things that we would want to do to address what was said in the SONA. On slide 24, there's just a reflection on the challenges that might be experienced by SEE in terms of the going forward in terms of delivering on their mandate. First one is the issue of the legal status, which we all aware of, to enable SEE to perform functions of a trading entity as per the PFMA. The budget allocation, which is not at the moment enough to deal with the SEE's obligations. The issue of preferential procurement status, I think we're all aware that we've been trying for some time now to get government departments to see SEE as a preferential procurement partner to make sure that there is work coming in as well as revenue. The selling price exemption, to exempt SEE from the approval of selling prices and to or to allow them to list their prices twice a year. And then the support from other departments, which I have already alluded to. Chairperson, after SEE, I would like to focus on unemployment insurance fund, and that would be on slide 26. And here I am going to focus on the expansion of the public and social employment, social employment, and specifically focus on labor activation programs. This is on slide 26, Commissioner, the next slide. Through our UIF Lab flagship program, we contribute to enhance the employability of the unemployed as part of the government initiatives to stimulate job creation in the labor market. In 21-22, UIF positioned itself to prioritize the funding of lab programs to facilitate job creation, the establishment of cooperatives and SMEs, which will focus and stimulate job creation. I think members will recall that in the past we did a substantial amount of training, but it was never linked to an exit strategy, and this has been changed during 21-22 going forward. As I say here, we reviewed and repurposed the lab funding to target projects that exit beneficiaries into jobs, and we already implement projects in partnership with other entities with job creation. To this end, for example, the KZN Department of Education has absorbed over 14,000 participants of one of the projects in terms through the labor activation programs. On slide 27, we also will continue with the TARS scheme, the one which is run through the CCMA to support distressed companies that seek to retrain their companies, their employees. Under the scheme, the UIF funds 75% of the basic salary, up to a maximum amount of 17,100 rands roughly a month, and for a maximum period of 12 months. The UIF also funds the Business Turnaround and Recovery Program of Productivity South Africa to provide support to enterprises facing economic distress, and it's aimed also at preventing job losses in the labor market. As I alluded to, we have already taken a strategic direction that emphasizes the training of the unemployed should lead to guaranteed employment at the end of the training period. And to ensure this, the employers and the partners who participate in the program have to commit that the learners who participate in the program will be absorbed into employment. Labor activation programs plan to have 75,000 participants in programs that enhance their employability. This is over the MTSF period. If we can now move to the compensation fund. So what have we done, compensation fund, in terms of economic growth and job creation? On slide 29, in order to create an environment in which the private sector can invest in the economy, the CF sought to invest in technology that can ease the burden of compliance and save money for employers. Chairperson, I think someone's microphone accidentally went off. Thank you. So initiatives that are carried out in this regard are the following.
Sorry, what is happening now?
I think someone accidentally unmuted Kwena, Chair.
Can Kwena please mute yourself, researcher? Mr. Sakaza, please check on these things and try and manage that. Thank you. You may continue.
Okay, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. So as I was saying, how the initiatives that the fund has carried out in this thus far is the participation in the single registration portal process spearheaded by the CIPC. Companies therefore do not have to do multiple registration in order to formalize themselves. Introducing the online portal for employer registration and the return of earnings submissions. Introduced an online claims registration and medical invoice submission for employers and the healthcare fraternity in order to reduce the cost of administering claims and improve turnaround times on claims. So clearly here, focused on the ease of doing business or interact with government. Furthermore, the key priority, economic growth and job creation, the publication of the new regulation on employer classification, which aims to simplify the assessment of employers and reclassify the industry risk. And this has resulted in a reduction of assessment rates for a significant number of employers due to the industry risk re-rating. Sorry, Chair. On slide 31, the Compensation Fund has before the National Council of Provinces, the COIDA Amendment Bill, which has, amongst others, a new chapter on the rehabilitation and return to work provisions. And the rehabilitation and return to work is aimed at contributing to employment creation and retention, as well as the alleviation of poverty through the rehabilitation of those injured in workplaces, such that they are able to return to the labor market. Chairperson, I would like to focus on Productivity South Africa's contribution next. Again, economic growth and job creation. So if we can move to slide 33, please, Commissioner. During the 22-23 financial year, this is the year that we are talking about coming, and during and post the COVID-19 pandemic, Commissioner, if we could just move to slide 33, please, if it's possible. Thank you. Productivity South Africa's key areas of focus and contribution to the socioeconomic landscape, they will implement the ERRP, which is premised on the reimagining industrial strategy. They will to improve the productivity of priority sectors through the sector master plans, special economic zones, industrial parks, and through the district development model. Target the 44 districts and 8 metros, and this will be achieved in collaboration with the DTIC and the Department of Small Business Development and their entities, as well as the private sector to achieve the National Development Plan's priorities. We will prioritize productivity growth programs and interventions, including the upscale of the Workplace Challenge Program, and to improve long-term competitiveness and sustained inclusive growth to raise employment, reduce poverty and inequality. Next slide, please. The reality of the growth challenges confirms that South Africa needs to reinforce and drive productivity growth agenda. And this will be led holistically across sectors and at all levels, and it will be reinforced by Productivity South Africa in the year coming. This with a conviction that productivity is a crucial determinant and driver of long-term competitiveness and economic growth, and a vehicle towards prosperity and higher standards of living. And again, I'm sure much more detail will come when Productivity South Africa unpacks their annual performance plan in the weeks to come to members. These interventions will assist South Africa to improve its global competitiveness ranking. We know at the moment our ranking is 62 out of 64. It has decreased in the last years. To increase our productivity gaps and the capability of our SMMEs, particularly those operating in the informal sector, to create productive employment and decent work. If we continue to the next slide, also of Productivity South Africa. Productivity South Africa will continue providing turnaround strategies and plans to support enterprises and industries hit hard by the cyclical downturn. And we will provide productivity-related research and statistics, as well as a world-class system of innovation, which clearly are critical for the country and individual enterprises to anticipate and prepare for the future of work and to meet the demands for our society and the economy in future. We believe that the measuring and evaluating of productivity and overall competitiveness of the economy and to disseminate value-add information and stats is critical for the informing the evidence-based planning and the impact of programs. And then despite its intellectual and leadership capabilities to deliver on the mandate, I think we're all aware of the financial challenges that persist in Productivity South Africa. And the request there is that Productivity South Africa then be considered that we address it through a single source funding model in line with the Employment Services Act, Section 12. Second to last in the presentation is that of focusing on NEDLAC chairperson. If we can move to slide 37. Slide 37, please, Commissioner. I will proceed. It seems as if there's a bit of a lag in terms of the slides. So what will NEDLAC do to respond to the president's sonar that was delivered in February? In response to the president's announcement that it... Chairperson, I see the presentation has disappeared from the screen. Can I proceed?
Yes. Okay.
It's back. Thank you, Chair. In response to the president's announcement, that a new comprehensive social compact will be announced in 100 days. The Minister of Employment and Labour will be leading the process, working closely with the presidency. We will be facilitating the process, and a 100-day program of action is being developed at the moment. It is expected that the deliberations from bilateral meetings between the social partners, as well as work that is taking place in other NEDLAC work streams and other processes such as the public sector summit, will feed into the renewed comprehensive social compact. And then a number of the policy and legislative processes announced by the President and Minister of Finance will be considered by the social partners after they've been tabled by government, and these include the National Migration Policy, Electricity Amendment Bill, Labour Law reforms, and I have already alluded to these when I spoke about public employment services, as well as when we addressed program for labour market policy and industrial relations. If we can move to slide 38, this will bring us to the CCMA. On slide 39 for the CCMA, what CCMA will do in addition to their normal caseload, or the normal casework, what the CCMA delivers on, they will also conclude on 6 collective bargaining support processes, 8 workplace engagements to implement transformation of the workplace relations, deliver on 8 vulnerable sector projects, and engage 106 entities to ensure there are minimum standards to be maintained during industrial action in essential services. Chairperson, if you will allow, the next slides are talking to the finances and the allocation of vote 31. Can I request the CFO to do this presentation, Chairperson?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Then CFO will proceed with the financial slides. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. I will present the budget, the vote 31 for 2022-2023, and also on the MTEF allocations, the projected allocations for the two outer years. Next slide. Whilst the next slide is uploading, Chair, can I apologize for the, on slide 43, I think there's been some error in terms of the figures. The total there is not supposed to be 50,000, but we are talking about millions. On slide 43, the total down there is 2,191,519. And the MTF, the total is not 4.2 billion, but 6,436,654. I apologize for that error on that slide on current payments. In terms of the allocations for the department for the upcoming financial year 2022-23, we have been allocated an amount of 3.9 billion with the allocation per I'm not sure whether this is the first slide. The first slide in terms of the budget information starts with the
DG, can that be sorted, please? Which slide are you in?
Well, this is the second slide, but it's not an issue. It's economic classification. I would have started with the slide of the, this one, of the branches in terms of administration, allocated just for about 1 billion. IES, 657 million. Public Employment Services, 935 million. Public Labor, Police and Industrial Relations, 1.3 billion, with the total of 3.9. And for the 2023-24, the allocation there is 3.983, which represents just an increase of about 0.69% in terms of the projected estimates. And the outer year, which is 24-25, our allocation decreases from the baseline of 23-24 with a minus 5.29%. So it's even lesser than the prior year allocation. That's about the projected. In total over the MTF period, the total allocation is 11.7 billion. Next slide. The next slide is the slide that was presented in terms of economic classification. On the current payments is 2.1 for the 2022-23 financial year. Current payments is 2.1 billion. Transfers and subsidies is 1.7 billion. Payment for capital assets, 71 million with the total of 3.956 billion. For the 2023-24 financial year, our allocation is sitting at 3.983 on the current payment, sitting at 2 billion, transfers and subsidies at 1.8, and payment to capital assets at 74 million. Giving us a total of 3.983, and the outer year, which is 24-25, the allocation is 2.191 billion, transfers and subsidies at 1.5 billion, and payment to capital assets at 77 million, giving a total of 3.772. Over the MTF period, the total amount is sitting at 11.712 billion rands. On the current payments, where I've indicated an error in the next slide, compensation of employees at about 1.430. Goods and services at 716 million, giving a total of 2.147. For 2023-24, compensation of local employees at 1.378 billion, goods and services at 718 million, with a total of 2.097 billion. On 24-25, the compensation employees at 1.440 billion, goods and services at 750 million, giving a total of 2.191519 billion. Over the MTF period, current payments are sitting at 6.436654. Those are the two corrections that I'm making, Chair, on this slide. On the next slide, transfers and subsidies. Transfers and subsidies mainly to our entities. CCMA in 2022-23 is going to receive an allocation of 1.046 billion. For 2023-24, 1.051 billion. 24-25, 1.097 billion. Giving a total over the MTF of 3.195 billion. Government Technical Advisory Center, Pathway Management Network is getting the allocation of 304 million in 2022-23. In 2023-24, 372 million. And there hasn't been any indication in terms of the 24-25 on the pathway management network. I think we will hear as the year progress. As the years progress in terms of what is happening in terms of the future of pathway management network. NETLEC, National Economic Development and Labor Council, is receiving an allocation of 58.8 million in 2022-23. In 23-24, 59.1 million. In 24-25, 61.7 million. Over the MTF period, the total allocation is 179.7 million. Productivity SA in 22-23, an allocation of 61.698 million, 23-24, 62.9 million, and in 24-25, 65.7 million, giving a total of 190.366 million over the MTF period. Supported employment enterprises, the allocation in 22-23 is 166.4 million, in 23-24 is 167.1 million, and in 24-25, 174.6 million. Over the MTF period, the total allocation to supported employment factories is 508.3 million. The total on the transfers and subsidies over the MTF period is 4.750 billion. Chair, I think that concludes the financial part of the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, CFO. DG, are there any additions before questions, before members ask questions?
Thank you, Chair. Just three things, Chair. Firstly, the just to indicate in the presentation, we made mention of the fact that we have started with the implementation, or we have started with the interaction with the social partners on the issue of compacting that the president has that the president announced during the SONA. This is led by the minister, and we're hoping that very soon we'll start with the bilaterals with the different social partners as soon as possible, so that we meet the 100 days that the president has given us to make sure that we conclude the social compact issue. The second one is that sometimes it appears as though we very much looking inwardly as we do this work, but I want to assure the committee that the president, when he announced the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, indicated that this plan is an infrastructure-led plan. Therefore, it means that for the implementation of this plan, we need to crowd in the private sector, because we cannot deliver in the infrastructure program if we don't bring the private sector on board. So that's what the government is doing in making sure that jobs are created, and the private sector is playing a very important role. In the presentation that both the CFO and Ms. Bronkhorst made, there was a reflection on the pathway management network. I just want to explain a little bit what this network is all about. In the last presentation, when we came to the committee and spoke about the what is it that the department is doing to implement the mandate of employment, we touched a little bit on the pathway management network, and the CFO has indicated that an amount of 304 million has been allocated towards this function. The pathway management network is what we call a network of networks that seeks to create more jobs and opportunities for youth in informal and in social economy. Informal and social economy. So the critical function is to stimulate, identify and aggregate jobs and work experiences. And this will happen through different approaches, such as the sector-based approaches, public employment programs. Part of what we're doing through this, the ERRP, the Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan, is the concept of localization as part of the streams that are there to implement the ERRP. So localization focuses more on what sectors are doing create opportunities and also create jobs. So we aiming at leveraging that. The second one is to drive system change that addresses barriers and supports inclusive hiring and reduced unemployment. Here we want to identify and advocate for policy, regulatory, and other changes that will improve the outcome of the entire system, including changes like reducing data cost, reducing barriers like adapting qualifications, requirements to be market related. The third one is to link youth opportunities and to support inclusively and for free. We want to connect young people to different platforms in the network where they can to build their profiles, receive nudges to jobs, work experiences, and income generating programs. Currently, or previously, before we started the pathway management network, as honorable members would know, that the department through public employment services administers a system called Employment Services System of South Africa, and young people would come or work seekers would come and register on the system, and employers would come and register job opportunities. Now, young people that were sitting on our system would not have a view of what is happening on other private networks. So through the pathway management network, we're enabling young people to have access through all these networks, whether you're sitting on the network of Harambe or Lulaway or any other private network, you're able to see what is on employment services system. So this 350 million that the CFO has spoken about is for the Pathway Management Network, which is at the center of the Presidential Youth Employment Interventions that comprises of an ecosystem manager and an innovation fund. So we have here asked GTEC and the Jobs Fund to play this role of the ecosystem manager and also the innovation fund, with us playing a monitoring role as a department, because we have to account for the 304 million that has been allocated to us. So there's work that we're doing with the private sector, but there's also a focus on public employment programs that that government is running. So I wanted to just make a point, Chair, on those two aspects, and I hope that honourable members have also noted that there's a slight increase in the budget of the CCMA, so that they're able to do the work that they're supposed to do. Thanks, Chair. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, DG. I hope I'm audible. The network is trying to catch on me. Honorable members, there are two presentations, one presentation with two contents. Can I get hands? I see
Michael Bagram.
I see it's Honorable Bagram, it's Honorable Yinana, it's Honorable Mkonto, it's Honorable Mugabe. Can I, in that order, Honorable Bagram?
Thank you, Madam Chair, I appreciate it. Thank you for this presentation. This is really upbeat, and for once it's made me excited. So thank you very much to the DG and the officials. I appreciate this. It looks like the department is starting to look beyond its normal mandate, and that's good news. I would like to, in due course, maybe if the DG would allow it, is for me to send a list of questions as to the timing and try and unpack some of these things. It's not for me to unpack it over here, because that will take ages. But I presume the department's put some thought into it, and that they're willing to let us have dates and more meat to what they're saying, because a lot of it is like motherhood and apple pie. It's all good stuff, but we need to know the detail. Is the devil is in that detail. The detail is what we need, so that we can test later on to see where we're going and whether it's producing results. But thank you very much for this. I am excited, and especially when we're looking at working with the private sector. I think, as you know, our president said that 80% of the jobs are created by the private sector, and he's expecting more of that in the future. This is now desperate. We need to get things done. So thank you for that. And I'm also, just lastly, very pleased that I see there is a bit of a bigger budget for the CCMA. I'm still not satisfied, but I suppose beggars can't be choosers. I mean, I'm pleased that at least it's happening, and I'm hoping the CCMA now opens up to the public. But thank you, DG, for this, and let's hold hands to see if we can make this work. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bagram. Let's hold hands. Honorable Yinana?
Chairperson, thank you very much, and good morning as well to the DM, to the colleagues and the officials. In accepting this presentation, Chairperson, The presentation, the first one was stated to be of deliverables and priorities, especially in from slide 5, where the summaries of inequality, poverty eradication, employment equality, and so on were listed. But what is lacking is the dates or the ultimate time. When do we say we start to count to see when are we expecting to see these deliverables being implemented? Because if they are made to be a priority, we need to get an understanding at it. We start to count this 100 years from 400 days from when, so that we can measure the outcomes of these deliverables, whether they were implemented or the targets that have been set are being achieved. And the other point that Chairperson was not clear was the expanding the possibility of recruiting more disabled people. And the number given was the 400, that 400 disabled people are going to be recruited or employed. But what I want to get clarity on that, Chairperson, is in what levels? Because when you employ people, it is not enough that you accommodate the disabled community only to find all of them are up until level 3, level 4. If we talk of employment equality, we need to see the disabled people who are on a higher salary level, because amongst that community or that sector, there are those people who are only just physically disabled, but in terms of capacity and possibilities, they have the skills that they can execute their responsibility. The last point that I was also expecting to get or hear from the DG was why the issue of BIG is omitted, which is basic income grant. Because the expectation, therefore, I'm definitely sure when you are meeting with your social partners, and even before the SONA presentation by the president, there were submissions that were made that many sectors, if you want to fight the poverty, you must say something around the basic income grant. I was therefore expecting to get the details and the clarity, how far they've gone with the social partners in relation to the BIG, because it is one of the aspects of how to fight poverty, and is expected therefore has to be part of the SONA presentation. The last point, Chairperson, is that everything that I have now noted is something that has been said every year when the SONA is being presented. But what today I wanted to get the clarity is, when are we going to start counting to say the presentation now is having this ultimatum and we will see the results when we check at how far they have gone with the implementation? Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Honorable Inanna. Honorable Mkhonto.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning to you, Honorable Members, the DM, the DG, and colleagues and our guests. Chair, I will start with slide number 5. Chair, what is what the department seeks to achieve in slide number 5? I wonder if it is possible or it is achievable if South Africa is at the productivity level where it is now. It makes me to think, Chair, or to incorporate that with what is in slide number 33, point number number two, to say productivity SA is now in this presentation making a commitment that things will be better. Maybe we'll see that improvement, Chair. All the things that are in this presentation, if our productivity levels are very low, my analysis is that it will be very difficult to achieve most of the things that this presentation is talking about. Chair, I will then go to slide number 8. That talks about a clean audit and so forth, and the activities of the internal audit. I want to know from the DG chair, in a department like this one, the issue of administration, is it applicable? Administration in the sense that we are having section 100 in the constitution, where if a province is not performing, then the national department has to put that province under administration. Is it possible that if an entity or a fund is not performing, can be put under administration by the office of the DG? I think members and colleagues, they know why I am presenting this, because it seems in other entities and funds is very difficult to improve. It might even jeopardize all the aspirations that the department is having in this presentation. And then, Chair, I will go to slide number 15 that talks about labor inspections. I want to check, Chair, because we are having complaints generally that labor inspectors, when they go for inspections, in most cases, they talk to the employers. They have meetings with employers. Can we have a mediation approach where both the employer, the employees, and the management are engaged during inspections for us to get the gist of every matter as to exactly what is happening in a workplace, than this approach that is alleged that labor inspectors are doing when they go to workplaces, that they only have meetings with employers. Maybe, Chair, for this department to improve, is a mediation approach possible? That is my question. And then I will go to slide. I did not record the slide, but it talks about the CCMA's budget increase. It's not that much, Chair, but we commend it. I think it's a good step towards the right direction. CCMA deserves that budget increase, and we hope in the future the budget will even be a better increased. And then, Chair, I need an advice from the DG and his team. There are employees, workers that are complaining that their employers just decided they don't retrench them, they don't say anything to them, but they just decided not to pay their salaries during the COVID-19. And nothing is said to them to say, no, we can't be able to, we can't afford you and so forth, your services and so forth and so forth. They are just left on their own. Some they have claimed for TERS, but employees are paid half of the amount and so forth. There is one entity where it even gets funding from one of the departments, that is the Department of Sports and Culture, but employees are not paid, and they are not given reasons why their employment contracts being breached. I need an advice, Chair. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Mdabe.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning to you, the Honourable Members, the DM and the DG and the entire management, and our Portfolio Committee management and staff. Let us welcome the presentation, Chair. My question is linked to what Honourable Mkhonto has raised on slide 15. Chair, revolutionaries always think alike. On slide 15, Chair, of the presentation tabulates all laws that have to be implemented, obeyed, and adhered to, and as such, laws that inspectors have to do inspections on. Conspicuously missing is the National Minimum Wage Act, number 9 of 2018. What is the meaning of this omission or not being listed as one of the act, which, and what should we read into why the minimum wage is not being listed? We would all recall that the Minimum Wage Act number 9 of 2018 was assented into law on the 27th of November 2018. So it's important that we get an explanation as to why this act is not implemented. Secondly, Chair, a question to DG. When are we going to see the Public Employment Services branch be restructured and repurposed and set firmly on the task of coordinating and facilitating job creation? Job creation interventions, intra or inter departmental and across government agencies. And I would even venture and say as far and wide as in the private sector, the silence of PES footsteps is too loud, especially when we are to deal with the issues of the expanded mandate of employment, understanding that DG did allude to other interventions as far as Harambe and pathway management. My issue here is specifically into a PES capability and capacity to deal with this added mandate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think those were the hands that were up. Can we get a response from the department through you, DG?
Thank you very much, Chair. It's one of those Chair, rare occasions that we get complimented by Honourable Dagrin. So we, I'm smiling and I really appreciate that. We indeed working very closely with the private sector. And we will welcome the list of questions from Honourable Bagrem. to unpack and give timelines. What I want to also indicate, Chair, is that we have included all these commitments as part of the annual performance plan of the department. And those that we have not included, we've made reference to them in the strategic plan of the department, made a commitment that we will implement them as we go forward. As you know, that the term of this the medium-term strategic framework that we implementing its lifespan ends in 2024. So we've made that commitment that those all we've made the commitment and those that are very urgent, we're in the process of implementing them. I want to link that question with the point raised by Honorable Inanna about the dates and ultimatum in terms of when does the 100-day start? It actually started the second day, I mean, on the day following the SONA announcement by the president. So that's when the presidency started counting. And we're very much aware of that. And that relates to the social compact. I just want to make this clarification that that relates to the social compact, the 100 days. The others, as I indicated, we have put them as part of the annual performance plans. The SEE on expanding and recruiting more disabled people, I think the CEO of SEE is here to indicate what levels, because I wouldn't know what levels. The issue of the basic income grant, the Honorable Inanna is correct. It was not announced by the president, because there are discussions that are still continuing, looking at the feasibility of the basic income grant. What I know as having heard as being as part of government is that generally there's no there's no objection to the basic income grant. However, you have to look at the issues of sustainability and costs that are related to that. And that's why for now, the government opted for the continuation of with the 350 rands up until the end of March next year, whilst the discussions on the modalities of how we tackle the issue of basic income grants are ensuing. So is the matter that is still on the table, Honorable Inanna, and the social development is at the heart of this item. So the implementation, Honorable Inanna, has started. Like I indicated, that we will be starting very soon with the bilaterals, with the different social partners to look at what is it that we can do so that when the 100-day hits, we will have a social compact on the table. And of course, these discussions are going to be facilitated by NEDLEC. The executive director of NEDLEC is here. She can also add to that. The issue of what we're mentioning in slide 5, whether it's possible to be achieved given the productivity levels and the fact that we've been, you know, slipping down the rankings in terms of productivity levels. I think this is something that the country is very much aware of. I think the CEO of Productivity South Africa is here. He can indicate what is it that we're doing to make government and the private sector to move so that the three or four critical areas that are part of the, or that are causing a challenge. One being the government inefficiency, and secondly is a business inefficiencies, and thirdly is the economy that is not doing well. I think the CEO brought South Africa can dwell much on that. Well, if we don't address these things, Honorable Mkhonto is correct, we may not achieve a lot, and that's why part of the social compact should include issues relating to productivity, and so that we're clear in terms of our expectations, what we expect from workers in terms of productivity levels, what we expect from business, and what we expect from government in terms of how we tackle this. Otherwise, it has actually started to create a problem for the country. On the issue of a slide of the administration, whether putting an entity or fund under administration in terms of the legislation that the honorable member was quoting, it is not feasible. However, we can use other provisions where we can, for instance, if let me use an example of the fund, either the compensation fund or UIF. The fund, in terms of the compensation, in terms of the Compensation Act, literally exists with the assistance of the workers that are allocated to it, which means that everybody that works there is employed by the department, and the commissioner is not actually a direct appointment. You are not appointed as a commissioner. The minister, what is the correct term? I forgot the correct term. Or the minister designates you as a commissioner. So the minister, if he's not happy with your performance, the minister has a right to revoke the designation and put another person there who's able to do their work. And secondly, commissioners there, they have delegated powers that the DG has delegated to them. So the other avenues for the DG to remove all those powers and put people there will be able to do the work from head office. A similar approach for provinces, and we've done this in other provinces. We've done it in Limpopo, where we felt that things were falling apart. We put the province under administration, as I've explained, and things went, things improved. And I see now the wheels are coming off again, and we are now again putting systems in place to make sure that the province, performs effectively. So you can do a number of things, Honorable Mkhonto. With the CCMA NEDLAC and Productivity South Africa, they have boards, and the minister can decide in terms of if he's not happy with the work of the board, because the board is the accounting authority there. So if those entities are failing, it means that the board is not doing its work, and the minister can take action to remedy the situation. On the issue of labor inspectors not speaking to employers, Chair. I started in the department as an inspector. One of the things that we were told when we were trained, was that when you go to a workplace, you speak to the employer, you speak to the workers. So what it means is that you, when as you come in, you are welcomed, you sit down, you ask for the representative of the workers, and you indicate to them what is it that you will be doing. And thereafter, when you are done with your inspection, you again call them back and say, we've done with our inspection, this is what we've picked up. And so that both employers and workers are aware of your findings as you leave the establishment. So it's been a practice, Chair. And I do, you know, I've been making this appeal whenever this matter is raised, these allegations, that I so much wish that somebody could give me a call and say, Inspector so-and-so is here and he's not talking to us. Because that inspector will actually be breaking the protocols. There are clear protocols in terms of how the inspector must conduct themselves and how they must do their work. And this, all inspectors know those protocols. And if that is happening, it is against those protocols, and we need to deal with those inspectors. Because as you are right, the inspector must listen to both the views of the workers and the
meeting.
Chair, I think we will need to get full details of this case that Honorable Mkhonto is talking about, of workers that have not, you know, in limbo. They don't know whether they still work for this company or they don't work for them. And some of them got paid COVID tests. I think we will need proper detail, Honorable Chair. And I would appreciate if Honorable Mkhonto can furnish those details to me on my WhatsApp, if she's fine with that, so that we can then follow on this thing up and also offer proper advice to those workers. Honorable Ndabe raised the issue of the national minimum wage, why it's not in the list. I think the Inspector General is here. She'll indicate why. But often, when you deal with the issues that affect that are in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the national minimum wage, you know, is a subset of that, and you deal with all those things holistically. But Inspector General is here, she will indicate why. When are we restructuring and repurposing PES so that PES can play the role that it's supposed to play, and their silence is too loud? Honorable Chairperson, you'll remember that when we came to the committee and indicated the mandate, how we are implementing the mandate of the department, I think before the last slide of the presentation, I then said, in everything that we're doing, there will be a need for a structural and organizational review of the department, not just PES, but the department, including the entities, in terms of how we're rearranging ourselves to be able to meet the demands of the demands of the labor market and the new challenges that are confronting us as a department. And PES is part of that. In fact, in the presentation, we could also highlight what is it that PES is doing as part of implementing the mandate. And some of the amendments that we've put in the Public Employment Services as a consequence of the two policies that we are introducing, the National Labor Migration Policy and the Employment Policy, are changes that relate to some of the functions that were performed at Home Affairs being moved to be performed at the Department of Employment and Labor, specifically by the PES branch. And secondly, rearranging ourselves, so that you have a policy and you have the implementing arm of the Department of the Public Employment Services. So those are the kinds of arrangements that we are making. And I think when the time is right, we will come to the committee as we have promised that we'll come to the committee and say these are the arrangements that we have made to restructure the department, relook at the architecture of the department. I know it's not the it's not what you want to hear. You want to hear when. At this moment, I think I'm unable to give you the when part because of the work that we still have to do. We still have to go to cabinet and say to cabinet, this is the plan that we have in place to restructure the entire department. Even though we've started implementing the mandate of the department, Chair, I'll ask Mr. Sam Rotoba to just have a reflection on that, and also ask the Executive Director of NEDLAC and also Inspector General and CEO of Productivity South Africa and the SCE to just a short reflection on the parts that are affecting the area of work. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, we'll allow that, but they must really be pointed and be short because members are affected now by load shedding. I got messages that the network is kicking them out. Okay, all right, okay. We'll start.
Lisa, do you want to start quickly?
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. As I think really, as the DG said, the President has asked that we look at a new and comprehensive social compact in 100 days, and that there will be a number of parallel inputs into the process. The most significant one is that of having bilateral discussions led by government with the different social partners, and that would then be complemented by the other work happening in NEDLAC. And we do hope that we will be able to have something on the table. We will have something on the table in 100 days, which is the beginning of June. Thanks, Chairperson. I hope I've been brief enough.
Yes, who's the next?
CEO of Productivity South Africa. Mr. Motiba.
Thank you, Chairperson. The reality of our situation, as indicated, is that our productivity levels are low, including the overall competitiveness as ranked by the Institute of Management Development. One thing that we have done is to make government aware of the four areas where we have problems, as the DG mentioned, and we're working collaboratively with the DTIC, as well as the Department of Small Business Development, together with business, to look at what are those things that we have to do, particularly to improve the competitiveness and sustainability of enterprises. We believe that if we can do that very well, and upscale our interventions in terms of the workplace challenge programs, we will begin to see an impact in those areas and businesses coming to the table. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
CEO of Supported Employment Enterprises.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thank you so much, DG. Yes, on the 400 additional opportunities, which the Honourable Annan has attached to, which talks to primary to priority number two of the Ministerial Performance Agreement, which comprises of economic transformation and job creation. SEE employs 100% disabled people in all our factual operations across the country. But to give a rather empirically grounded text, if you look at the quarter labor force survey of the third quarter of 2021, you'd see that's when unemployment rate increased from 34.4 to 34.9. But SEE was defying the trends at the time. We employed additional 10 people during that quarter. So what we're trying to say is that with support from other government departments, we are actually on track to meet that 400 additional opportunities. So basically our plea is to say that we've demonstrated that it can be done, but we definitely want to extend, that plea to across the board to say that if we can get that support in terms of buying the material that we build in those factories by disabled people, we are on track to meet that number. Thank you very much, TJ.
And you're employing them at what levels?
Okay, did you, in our factories, basically at the, these are factory employees, but when it comes to levels, I'll have to actually go back and get the numbers so that I can give a precisely correct answer. But that's basically, we're focusing basically on the factory operations, but I can actually collate and give you the exact numbers in terms of levels.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Chair,
the
Inspector General, quickly.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just to add briefly on what the DG provided as a response to what was raised by Honorable Mkhonto. Beyond what the DG has said, we've got a standard operation procedure that clearly defines what a competent inspection is. And that says that a competent inspection must involve an interview with employees. Where workplaces have got unions, shop stewards have got to be part of the process from beginning to end. And in terms of occupational health and safety reps also need to form part of the interviews. Just briefly on that part. And to respond to what Honorable Mdabe has raised, quite important and pertinent, the department can ill afford and not to focus on the national minimum wage. The Basic Conditions of Employment Act was amended, and Section 65 up to Section 75 clearly states how the National Minimum Wage Act should be enforced. And it is for that reason that when we give targets, we incorporate the targets of the national minimum wage within the BCA, because the enforcement thereof, which is the part where we come in to enforce the law, is done through the BCA, like I've stated the relevant sections that get into details how it should be done, involving penalties, enforcement instruments and mechanisms and so on. And also just to add, Chair, Honorable Chair, that beyond that, what you've done as a branch is to projectize the national minimum wage so that we're able to glean from the inspections of BCEA, be able to separate those that talk only to the national minimum wage. And the project is called Shabandara. It focuses exclusively on the implementation around the National Minimum Wage Act. So we are able to also report on that so that we are able to show what is happening in the space of the NMW. Thank you, Chair.
Tim Rotaba.
Thank you, DG and Chairperson and honorable members. Just to, on the disability, the entry level DG at SEE, just to assist the CEO, is 5,500, which is more than the MINT test that is set by the social development. Secondly, we have amended, we are proposing amendments to the Employment Services Act, especially on the section dealing with SEE with the advice of Treasury, to make it a trading entity so that departments can be compelled without going through the tender process to procure from SEE. We're hoping that members will support that amendment once the bill comes to Parliament. Thirdly, DG, there is a process to appoint 10 organizations in different provinces to replace the current ones that benefited from the subsidy support over the last 3 years. And we are targeting to employ 1,120 people with disabilities, that is to subsidize their salaries and to top up the numbers that SEE indicated. On the basic income grant, the 350 was conditional upon social development working with ESSA to recruit from the database. And in that way, we'll be able to work together to clear some of the names that may be problematic or that should not be getting grants, because with the database, we'll be able to say these ones have registered, they are ready for work. And if we can place them in LAP, EPWP, and so on, we'll be able to take them off the grant system to make sure that people do not continue to get the grant whilst they are working. So the whole idea why Treasury to make sure that we remove the duplication or the double dipping. And lastly, on the NEP, I think the labor migration is on the website, and honorable members are welcome to get that. And the national employment policy is going through the socioeconomic impact analysis. Once cabinet has approved that, we'll also release it. But I think combined with what the director general said, it will also then strengthen our role in the coordination of employment, because it will be based on strong policy, that is solid policy. And I think in the short term, we have been allocated additional budget to work with the presidency to do the coordination. And I think the CFO touched on those additional increment of PERS budget from 600 million to about 900 million. Thank you, DG.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Are they done?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. Thank you, honorable members. I hope, Honorable Mkhonto, that your legacy hand. At the end, any brief input on responses? Because load shedding is messing people up.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members, I think you will agree that our officials has actually dealt or highlighted the key SONA priorities. And I agree that the APP presentations will reflect more details on how each program aims to achieve the priority.
DG, you're out of order. Can you please mute? Please. Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think more importantly is the upscale on the rollout, Honorable Members, of taking services to the people in a more integrated approach, which will I think will be addressed, which will be addressed through the district development model. And due to the number of challenges with the audit action plans, I think it will be now a standard for all the audit action plans to be subjected to the internal audit. So it will be standardized and incorporated into the internal audit plan. So the establishment of the ethics unit in the DG's office to follow up on all the ethics related matters is a big step in the right direction. And for a longest time, I think this is something that has been bothering us. So finally, it is happening, Honorable Members. And Chairperson, we are also monitoring monitoring the vaccination levels by staff, and at the right time, I think we will be able to give a clearer indication of the status quo in this regard, and the review of the labor market regulations to enable the small businesses to hire more workers is a matter that members will be excited to hear, particularly Honorable Kado and Honorable Bagrain. The social compact program led by NETLEC will be a huge turnaround for the country and has a potential to stabilize, grow the economy and create jobs. And the ACE target of 30 government customer agreements will need the support of all of us honorable members. I'm sure we have been laboring on this issue for far too long, and it is just about time to make it work. So we will work very hard to achieve this objective. And we have already started with the 2021-2022 lab programs focusing on job creation only, and no longer endless training programs without an opportunity for employment creation. So business turnaround of Productivity SA funded by the UIF, but I'm sure we are all aware of the fact that the challenges that faces Productivity SA because of the fact that they are only banking on one single funding source as per the solution in terms of Section 12 of the Employment Services Act. They are not able to source for other funding outside. So honorable members, I'm aware we are all aware of the budget constraints and the limited resources we have faced with as all government departments to commit once more, honorable chairperson and honorable members, that we will continue to try and strive to do more with the little resources that we have, and the fact that the details of all what we are talking about here will be on the individual APPs. So I want to take this moment, honorable chairperson and honorable members, to thank you for
Well, we have lost you because your video was on. I'm sure the network is not stable at all. Members, thank you very much. Thank you, DM. Thank you, DG. And thank the honorable members in questions that have been asked. I think I agree myself is that it's one of those meetings that at least we have, we are now beginning to then understand that working together, we will then be able to move the country forward. There are critical issues that have been raised by members in terms of the time frames and whatever, but I would like to pursue again humbly members that they do have that right and responsibility of writing one to the office of the minister and the PLO and the DG through PLO. I'm of the understanding that members do have the number of the PLO. And in writing, state who say which company. I'm again, let us not be general. Let us be pointed. Where is this workplace where inspectors are having a one-sided interview? I'm making an example. We must say it. because we won't be able to correct that if we are general in raising our issues. But issues that we are picking up for communities must not wait for the portfolio committee for that to be addressed. I'm humbly requesting members to do that, because as the chair, that's what I do when I receive correspondence, when I receive phone calls, when I receive SMSs from communities that are encountering a challenge. If people have not been paid, if employers have applied for TERS and workers are not paid, I do ask, give me your name, your ID number, your employer where you are working, so that when we forward that to the department to be followed up, we have got that information. I'm humbly requesting that to be done. Thank you, Honorable Begram, that his leadership give credit where credit is due. At least we are beginning to really move forward. And I'm not implying that, as I'm saying it for the second time, we are not going to sweetheart the department and the ministry. But where credit is due, let's do that. Having said that, Honorable Members, the network is challenging because of this issue of load shedding. We will meet again next week, but we will continue doing our work as we are then supposed to be doing that, working together with all other departments. We are expecting we will still make a follow-up with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, because we are to get from, they are monitoring all departments, and we just want to get from them what is their feel in terms of the employment and labor. In terms of UIF audit, I will still make a follow-up with the Office of the Auditor General to check if those have been signed off so that they come and table, because we are really interested to understand the state of audit in that. Having said that, thank you very much, Honorable Members, until we meet again next week. Thank you. Our meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you.